You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Everyone here on the West Coast on a Thursday. Mike McNamara with you, joined by the one and only Michael Musselman from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Right.
What? What do you mean? That's where you're from? Born in San Diego, raised in Minneapolis. Then he joined
Minneapolis.
Eden Prairie. Well, nobody knows. Like, everybody's going to say, what? What is that? So at least by saying Minneapolis, they at least kind of know where you're from. Eden Prairie, outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And welcome to the program, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Good, Mark.
How are things in Texas?
Oh, everything is great in Texas.
Everything's good everywhere else. In Texas. All right, let's talk about some stuff. General Mattis in Europe yesterday in a meeting with defense secretaries from NATO, telling them that hey boys, we all got to go ahead and pick up our share. This agreement is based on certain parameters, and you're not living up to them. So let's get with it. Mike, thoughts on that, Mike?
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? You think?
Yeah.
How do you allow it to come away from that? If you want to be part of the alliance, this is what you got to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You signed up. You joined the club, and time to pay your dues.
Yeah. Membership has its privileges. Okay. One of them is paying your dues. So, and you know, it's like,
and it's not responsibility of one member to cough up everybody else's share.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say is, okay, look, boys, we're done with World War II, okay? Germany, get the drums out, get the good music back on, start beating them, start marching, let's go. You need to have an army there, crazy. All right? That other craziness almost 100 years ago. Let's go. Get it together. Same thing with Japan. Like, okay, Japan, we know in your constitution, blah, 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 blah. China's getting ready to eat you over there, okay? So build some ships, have an army, let's go. Let's go, be a player. So we're done with World War II. Let's move on. Okay, what else? General Mattis is so pretty smooth, though, right? Very measured.
Yeah, he's
a pro.
Yeah, he calls it like he sees it kind of guy, yeah.
Yeah. CNT,
hey,
go ahead.
Let me share something with you. This is kind of, I find this funny. This is liberal logic that someone sent me. And it says, Trump telling you to buy a line of clothing is an ethics violation. Obama forcing you to buy health care insurance is totally acceptable. Love it.
Okay, first of all, you can't say Kellyanne Conway is the perpetrator, okay? You can't say when you're in that position to buy that stuff. Come on, it's unethical. And the healthcare thing,
like,
it's a stretch. You and your wacko conservative friends are out there, you know, with nothing to do.
I just like it.
I know.
And here, this is from Dan Rather, who, you know, as we know, is the utmost journalist.
Exactly.
Right? If Hillary Clinton had done one-tenth of what Mr. Flynn had done, she'd likely be in jail. And isn't it just Mr. Flynn? How far does this go? Dan Rather.
He said that?
And it's like, Hey, Dan. Hey, Hillary. If Hillary did ten tenths of what Mr. Flynn had done, and she's still not in jail.
Yeah, and so it goes. What's next? How does this all end? What happens to us? You know.
Yeah.
I'll just read you the headline. In a Wall Street Journal piece, spies keep intelligence from Donald Trump on leaks concerned.
Yeah.
Decision to withhold information underscores deep mistrust between the intelligence community and the president. Let's see. In some of the cases, withheld information, officials have decided not to show Mr. Trump the sources and methods that the intelligence agency used to collect information, the current and former officials said. Those sources and methods could include, for instance, the means an agency uses to spy on a foreign government. White House official said, there is nothing that leads us to believe that this is an accurate account of what is actually happening. A spokesman for the Office of National Intelligence, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, says, any suggestion that the U.S. intelligence community is withholding information and not providing the best possible intelligence to the president and his national security team are not true. Okay, but that's not the question. You're not withholding intelligence. You're holding back on the means, and those are, you know, it's one of the great educations you get when you go to war is reporting, because you get it. God Almighty, there is so much data that you get. That's why you know, in retrospect, you're like, people were like, after September 11th, it's like, there was a warning. Look, they had this report on this day. So it's like, okay, the source is first time reporting, so he's an unconfirmed source. And it's a whole bunch of white noise. Now, in retrospect, you can look back and say, oh, say, see, you had it. But at the time, there's nothing that gives it any greater credibility. Now, if you get six reports like that, right, then maybe by virtue of the number, it's like, all right, there's something going on there. Or when the source is reported so often that it's, you know, it's a credible source, that gives it more credence. But if it's just a piece of data that pops in, it's a piece of data. And so you do this a lot when you go evaluate targets and things like that. So, have you ever been? You ever sit on the targeting board, Mike?
Yes.
Explain to everybody in general terms what the targeting board does.
It nominates people of interest, of value, of intelligence, either basically to kill or capture.
So that's how we do it.
Yeah. Yeah, based on all the intel that we got, what is it worth? Do we take him out of circulation? Do we, you know, basically cut the head off of that snake, or do we capture it and then try and get information from him?
So there's a whole process in terms of intelligence and all the different things that go into the nomination and then the approval of somebody to get on the targeting list. And it goes to different levels. So that's how we do it. So that's why these things, sources and means are important stuff, because, you know, you're looking at a report and, you know, it may or may not be from somebody who's vetted and is reliable. So you can't act on it really. So, or you're less likely to act on it. I should say it that way. Okay. Now yesterday, some of the fallout from the Flynn thing is that this is a big conspiracy. In fact, you shared with me something before we came on that, you know, that, in fact, Mike Rice said today, he said, look, some of this is just, you know, Trump is an outsider. And
right.
And he's going to collide with the insiders over stuff. And he said, look, I'm not alarmed yet. He said, I wish certainly they would behave more like General Mattis, General Kelly behave, than the way they behave. He said, but I don't think that's happening. He said, but I think that a lot of this is just comes from when you rinse the barrel out. You're going to get some of this stuff. Your thoughts on that, Mike? Is this barrel rinsing?
Share with what we talked about before the show.
What do we talk about?
We talked about this is, you know, this is the residue left behind from people that are basically entrenched into, you know, the government. And they look at Trump as an outsider and as a threat. So, you know, it has a lot to do with people that are upset, that are in positions that are upset with Trump's policies, Trump's overall vision, and what they're using their position in politics or in the intelligence community, wherever they are, to do anything they can to to derail this whole movement.
Okay. Or if it's let me play devil's advocate, if you will. Or the Trump administration is reckless. The things that we know in the past, they're cozying up to the Russians, them, you know, saying, oh, this doesn't really exist. And the way he goes business doesn't inspire confidence in people who don't have any affiliation with Hillary Clinton, but are concerned that he's reckless and do not see cooperating with his administration as something that's in the best interest of the country. How legitimate?
Yeah, they're making those decisions. Yeah.
Interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they're making that decision based on their beliefs, not what's good for the country. But it goes both ways, Mac. I mean, you have liberal Democrats like Cummings and Pelosi, but you also have the whack jobs on the right, you know, and everything. It's never in the best interest of what's the country. It's their agenda. If it impedes their agenda, what they want to get accomplished.
Mike, why can't, you know, it's such a world that's foreign to us too, to be honest with you, because, you know, in the world that we live in, the Marine Corps, I mean, we all tend to push in one direction. You know,
team, one fight.
Yeah, we may argue about it, but certainly interesting times we live in, and again, I think that the whole way that the president goes about it, he makes it worse. Now, let's just take him out of the equation. There's certainly resistance to outsiders, the whole draining the swamp thing, which I think is more rhetoric than fact, because you have a lot of guys who've been in the swamp for a long time that continue to be in Washington, D.C., our friends included, even though I wouldn't consider them swamp dwellers. But there is an element of that, regardless of the president's behavior. I think the whole Flynn thing, though, Mike and I were talking earlier this week. He was a different guy relative to intel guys. And it's hard for me to believe. I was watching videotape of them talking about him sitting next to Vladimir Putin in Moscow and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Flynn's an intel guy. He should have no illusions what the Russians are about. You know, so I'm just curious. I'm curious to know in the aftermath of all of this. I'd be curious to hear what he has to say in terms of, hey, this is the unvarnished truth of what I did. This is what I did. I didn't do this. We had a conversation. But if, in fact, he did tell the Russian ambassador, hey, don't overreact to this, these things are going to be short-lived, then, to be honest with you, I mean, he should resign. And that's it's out of his lane, and it's reckless. I mean, he's got 4 years to do all that work. Is it youthful enthusiasm? And come on, man, you're a pro and you're dealing with the Russians and have no illusions about who they are and what they want. But I don't know. It just seemed like Flynn was not your typical intel guy in terms of the way he carried himself. So I don't know. Maybe you get what you get.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think I'm more torn to the fact that we're fed information through media on what the position of the Russians really is, or its perception of what they want to do. You know, and I still have a hard time believing the fact that, you know, that they did this, that makes them a bad guy. They invaded the Crimea. They went into the Ukraine. They did all this stuff. You know, again, if you look at our record, of things that we've done, and it's very, very similar. And you can make an argument that at least them going into a neighboring, you know, like the Crimea incident, you know, it's a neighboring area. There were some other issues there that I got it, but who are we to pass judgment on their decisions when we go across an ocean to interfere with a sovereign nation.
All right, we'll do point counterpoint. All right, I would tell you that if we went into Mexico and said, you know what, this whole drug war in Mexico, it's clearly a country out of control. And so we've gone in to annex 50 miles of Mexico, and we will take it over as kind of a security buffer because this war is getting too close to the United States. Clearly, Acapulco wants to be part of the United States and wants to just simply to exercise, free margaritas and cliff diving down there. And then we're going to draw that line over to wherever on the east coast of Mexico. Hopefully, Puerto Vallarta is included in it. And so we're just gonna call that a security zone. The citizens there have petitioned us to do this, but we have now just annexed part of another sovereign country. I would contrast that with, okay, we were attacked by Afghanistan. We went into there. We're trying to help them. Iraq, we went in for a bad reason. We're trying to get out of there, but we simply can't do it. So we're trying to help them solve problems. As soon as we can solve it and stabilize it, we will leave and leave that country to them. The Russians have no intention of doing that. They took the Crimea, and it's not going back to the Ukraine, who owns it. Who owns it? It was part of the Ukraine. They took a piece of a sovereign nation, and they're not giving it back. So I would say that we have screwed things up, but our intentions are I would say, overall tend to be good, and we have a historical record of leaving, giving it to them and leaving. So
okay, the counterpoint to your argument then is,
yeah,
the difference is there's no Americans in northern Mexico.
Yes, there are. There's
no American citizens.
There's tons of Americans down there.
No, they're people that choose to live there or do things, but there's Russian people, and to say that it belonged to the Ukraine. At what point? At what point in history did it? When was it all Russia? And then it broke apart and became its independent sovereign nation.
No, it was. I think historically, the Crimea was part of the nation known as the Ukraine and the Ukrainian Republic. And so when the Soviet Union broke apart, the Crimea was part of the Ukraine. I think historically that's what it was. Now, I can look it up. I'm happy to do that for you. So I'll do that right now. So now you're going to split hair. You're going to get the X-Acto knife out on me and say, that's the way it goes. So I would tell you this. And so to me, it's the same kind of thing. The Russians in a place that has historically been sovereign Ukrainian territory are asking us to come in. So we are going to violate an internationally recognized border, go in there, and we're going to annex it. Hitler did shit like that. Yes.
Okay, I'm looking right now. So in 1783, Crimea was annexed by the Russian Empire. Following the Russian Revolution of 1917, Crimea became an autonomous republic within the Russian Soviet Federal Union, the USSR. In 1954, it was transferred to the Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic by Nikita Khrushchev in order to bolster the unity of Russians and Ukrainians.
Yeah, so they gave it because it was predominantly Ukrainian people. That's bolstering the unity, okay?
No, it's predominantly Russians.
Predominantly Ukrainian.
That was the rub. That's why a lot of people in Crimea were upset.
The Russians in Crimea were upset. How did Crimea become part of the Ukraine? Crimea was part of Russia from 1783 until the Tsar's Empire until 1954, when the Soviet government transferred Crimea to the Russian blah 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Why did Russia give away Crimea 60 years ago? The Wilson Center. So I'm going to read you what the Wilson Center has to say. The answer. blah, blah, blah. Not until 1972, just after the Soviet Union was dissolved, did the additional material about this episode emerge. The transfer was announced in the Soviet press in February of 1954, 8 days after the Presidium of the USSR Supreme Soviet adopted a resolution authorizing the move on 19 February. The text of the resolution and some excerpts from the proceedings of the Presidium of the USSR on February 19th were published along with a very brief announcement. Nothing else about the transfer was disclosed at the time. No further information was made available during the remainder of the Soviet era. Not until 1992, just after the Soviet Union was dissolved, did additional information about the episode emerge. A historical archive journal, which had been published in the USSR from 1955 to 62, began appearing again in 1992 with transcriptions of declassified documents from the Soviet archive. The first issue of the revived archive in 1992 contained a section about the transfer of Crimea from that featured documents from the Russian Presidential Archive and from a few other archives whose collections are now housed at the State Archives of the Russian Federation. Unfortunately, these documents do not add anything of substance to what was published in the Soviet press 38 years ago. Indeed, they are mostly identical to what was published. Apparently, the editors are unaware that the scripted proceedings of the USSR Supreme Soviet Presidium meeting had already been published in 1954. So, this is very long. I'm going to have to do some research, Mike. I can't give you, there's no short, easy answer. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If that's the agreed upon border, you can't roll in and say, yeah, I'm not good with that. Come on, like. That's like Hitler shit. You know that. I know that.
The American people.
Okay. Who else is it? Who else does that? Who rolls into another country and says, "Yeah, you're part of us now"?
Well, no. Remember, the only country that was annexed by Hitler was the Rhineland, which was taken away from them in World War I.
What about when the Sudeten?
That's an invasion. That's different. That's war.
So he didn't like the Versailles Agreement, right? And so he
took back the Rhineland, which was Germany, which was taken away.
There was a treaty. They lost the war. Losing wars redraws boundaries all the time.
You're right.
So
and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So Hitler equals Putin. Both of them, in spite of treaties. They gave land to other. You know, you just made the case. I love that. Thank you. Muscleman, you're the man.
No, you're looking at it from a different
perspective. Yeah. I'm not. So Hitler doesn't like it, so he says, yeah, that belongs to us. We're taking it back. Okay. And Putin said the same thing. Yeah, these people are oppressed. And it's mostly his guys he sent in there that started all that shit. And it's like, yeah, we're rolling back in there. What's the Ukraine going to do? Nothing. Why? Because we say we stand behind them, but we won't send them any military shit. So there you have it. So, all right.
You read about the Tartars.
We're not going back to the Tartar sauce. I'm sorry.
Go back.
Times change.
You can read
people
the history
change.
Of Crimea.
I don't want to. Here's what I care about. We have treaties. There's wars, there's conflicts. Nations like the Soviet Union fall apart. And then there's treaty signed. You can't simply go and do, so it's like Putin does it, the Chinese are doing it. And?
You simply can't go do what?
Be a thug.
Oh. So it's totally acceptable to invade a country under false pretenses and remove the government. And destroy its basically destroy it within its region.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No. I'm not saying that's okay. But look, you can't. I think when you try to suck us down that rabbit hole, I think that's not a correct parallel.
Okay.
That's what I think. I think you just can't do that. But you're like, you like your boy Vladimir. I'm not as much of a fan.
No, I don't like him. What I do though is I try not to just believe everything I hear that comes across the TV on Russia.
Well, like, I don't even watch the TV, so I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is I don't like the Russian. Putin's KGB. He has one agenda. They go around the world and they jack shit up. Now, to the extent that we might be able to partner with those guys, yeah, that's cool. They orchestrate, right, huge cheating events for the Olympics.
Okay.
It's the way they roll. It's what they do. And, like, we're naive. You know, we want to be naive about it. Right? These women that look like men. Oh, yeah, that's normal. They just work out.
That was Germans, by the way.
That was. The Russians were the same way.
See, yeah. You're categorizing.
am I profiling?
Yeah. You're grouping people together into one, so yeah, you're right. They came across these Germans, and they actually had camps, you know, where these people would go and train and take these enhancement type drugs. And it was really evident during the gymnastics. That was the huge thing.
Well, these German swimmers, man, they would.
Yeah, that was.
Remember that?
That was huge.
And they've done, like, I saw a couple of years ago. I think it must have been a couple years ago. They had an article about these women and where they are now and the health issues that they have and all of this. And they said, hey, look, you know, we were gifted swimmers, and then they took us, and, you know, we'd get done with practice and then we would get injected. We were told it was all part of, you know, becoming a high end swimmer. And there was nothing illegal about it, and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. And that's what we did.
Yeah, and you're right. And, you know, to your point, no American athlete ever doped.
They dope,
nope,
but
that
they
never happened.
They dope, but they dope for their own reason. The nation didn't sponsor it.
I'm sorry.
That's the difference, Mike.
There.
That's the difference. Yeah. An individual can make a choice for their own personal gain.
Cheating.
Yes.
Is above individual cheating.
Yes, it's, come on. Oh. It's not even the same thing.
I think, now I was wrong. I classified it cheating as cheating.
Well, it is. Cheating is cheating. But the difference is when your nation says, come on, come on in here, we got a shot for you, or you're Ben Johnson and you go looking for, you know, a physician that's going to prescribe this certain drug for you, and then you have it made into a cream, and then you take another drug to hide the first drug, right? That's you cheating. That is not the U.S. Olympic Committee saying, yeah, you need to do that.
Oh, okay. I see the difference now.
No, you know, why are you...
So you took the X-Acto knife that I just used and used it in your...
I did. There's no X-Acto knife anywhere near that
cheating
thing.
From cheating and clearly defined a different level of cheating. There's cheating.
Yes.
But, Mike, there's cheating that's not acceptable cheating, and that's state-sponsored
government. No. Both of them are not acceptable. I think there is a difference, though. One is state-sponsored and one is individual. And if a nation participates in that, then they clearly ought to be booted out of every competition for a long time.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And if there's a treaty, just like, I mean, imagine that. In 1936, Hitler takes back the Sudetenland in violation of the Versailles Treaty.
Okay.
And what did Europe do?
Nothing.
Okay. Then he went into Poland. What did Europe do? Neville Chamberlain went over. They had another meeting. It's like, hey, look, we're really not cool with you guys,
right?
Eating other
countries. Nothing was really done.
Other countries,
other than declarations of war. You know, oh, you crossed the red line now.
Oh yeah, don't. We're gonna get mad. Don't make me get off this couch.
Yeah, right.
All of that, and nothing happened. And then we had a big war. So. I'm just saying, you can't just unilaterally take that back if they have a grievance. Like the Chinese. The Chinese are looking for a conflict. Why else would they be doing what they're doing? You know? The Spratly Islands don't have historically have any connection to China. over 900 miles south of Hong Kong.
Yeah. And what did the world do?
Nothing.
Sat on the couch.
Nothing. Don't make me get off this couch. And then the Chinese say, well, go ahead and get off the couch. We'll deal with that. And then, oh, by the way, guess what? You're going to lose all access to our markets. So good luck with the rest of your economy, because I think about 30% of what you sell out of that country comes to Chinhua. So I think it's best you let us have our little island and whatever else we decide to do. Right?
Right.
They're called bullies, Mike.
Yeah, I just... But bullies. You know what, Mac? I look at things and say, you know, I get it when people are trying to draw the difference between, you know, when you look at Fidel Castro in the 60s trying to make a friendship with a country that we were enemies with. Mm-hmm. And what did we do? We put a naval blockade that don't do this. You know, and we put it under the umbrella of national security. We didn't want nuclear weapons that close.
Right.
But, you know, but we put nuclear weapons in Eastern Europe aimed at our enemy that were right up on the border, but that was okay.
That was an answer to their nuclear weapons up against their border.
But my point is, it's always a difference of, it's a matter of where you stand in perspective and how you look at an issue.
I don't disagree with that.
Because we are American, and it's not okay because we just don't like you.
I agree. I mean, we can make a case that, hey, look, the Europeans have every right to defend themselves. The Russians have missiles.
Right did we have to defend them?
Well, because we wind up defending them. So we wind up being the greatest industrial nation. So therefore, NATO shows up, and now the Russians put missiles in Poland and East Germany. And what's our response? I guess that's okay. You Europeans, are you okay with that? Well, yeah, hopefully they won't use them. And the NATO response is, no, we're going to have this thing called mutual assured destruction. If you shoot one, just know this. By the time it all gets done, we're all gone away. So guess what? It's in everybody's interest for nobody to shoot. So that's the idea we come up with. And it works. I guess it worked pretty well. Nobody shot one. So
I just think you didn't have a madman then.
But your perspective is, okay, well, the Soviet Union say, look, if they could be on our doorstep, we have an ally in Cuba, they could be on the American doorstep. And the Americans say, sorry, that's not happening. Right?
Yeah.
You are not going to fundamentally alter the balance of power. And if you want to try, then we can do this right now. And so it'll be interesting. Will we say the same thing to the Chinese?
No.
What happens if they put ballistic missiles or some kind of long-range missile there?
In
the Spratly Island.
Well, yeah, what are we going to do?
Are we going to say, let's go, boys, Navy, time for you to earn that combat pay that you've been sucking down? Yeah.
Well, so if you look at real time right now, North Korea has nuclear weapons.
Right.
North Korea now has capability for long-range ballistic missiles to reach the west coast of the United States. What have we done? More sanctions? You know, the only thing that hurts in sanctions is the people. And, you know, how responsible are the people? What are they? I mean, you have a dictatorship. They have no rights. They didn't elect him to power. They don't stand behind him. They stand in fear. But we put sanctions that, again,
let me just tell you, I think that's tough because that guy just gassed his own brother in an airport. Okay.
Yeah.
His own half brother in an airport. He sprayed him to death. Okay. Yeah. He's a kook. So how does that kook react? So to me, it's like, all right, if we're going to go, all right, there's going to be a number of aircraft carriers that are going to go. And guess what? We're going to poke him in the eye. And if he opens any of this, guess what? there's going to be war on the Korean Peninsula, and it's got to be short, and it's got to be over fast. And he's got to be dead, and then we're stopping.
Right.
But that's what you risk when you deal with that guy. So it's like, what do you do? And then China, you know, I read this thing that came out of China that says, hey, look, we don't control that guy. We think he's as nutty as you do.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't listen to us. So why do you look at us like we're Geppetto and he's Pinocchio? Like we're dancing him. He doesn't dance to our tune. He dances to his own tune. He's crazy. He crazy. So I don't.
Yeah.
Crazy world we're living in, Mike. Crazy world we're living in.
I think China would stand by and watch as we removed him from power.
Yeah, what else are they going to do? I think what they would want, what would the Chinese want? Well, according to General Tulin, the Chinese believe that we're hemming them in. If South Korea gets the entire Korean Peninsula, are the Chinese going to have a problem with that?
No.
Me think so.
No, they would have a problem if South Korea took control of the peninsula and we left the military, we pulled our military out of there. Then they would look at it as, okay, no big deal. Because they're surrounded by that. It's not one of these last domino, this is the last domino, this domino falls, we're going to do some of that.
Right. Well, I just, it would, okay, let's just, so we
China
roll.
China doesn't give a shit.
We roll the dice, and we go into China.
Going to Korea, you mean?
We go into Korea, I'm sorry. Yeah, we stay the hell out of China.
Yeah, say China would have a problem if I was going to China.
We got near that thing last time, and anyway, so we, he's rolling his ICBMs out of those caves, and we roll a few aircraft carriers, right? We move the 3rd Marine Division over there, and on very little notice, we hammer his command and control stuff. We hammer every target that we know, and we let it rip on his ass, and our special forces guy goes zooming around, and we try to yoke his ass up and kill him. And let's just say we kill him. All right? And then we stop, and we say, hey, look, we don't want to fight anymore. We want you guys to rule your country. This is an operational pause. Don't anybody go near a trigger, okay, because we're trying to cool this shit out. What would the Chinese do?
Chinese would watch because it benefits them economically for North Korea to basically have the economy of South Korea.
Okay, so they would be cool with greater Western influence on the Korean Peninsula.
Who would be there at their door with all of the resources to rebuild North Korea?
We would. The Koreans would. The Chinese would. Yeah,
Chinese would.
You know, that's worthy. We should drag somebody on to talk about that. What do they see in the aftermath of regime change in Korea? How would that work?
Steel and concrete? We ain't shipping that over from the United States.
No.
We don't, it's coming across the Yalu River, boys.
They don't even need our computers.
No.
Okay.
Economically, it benefits China. Because right now, North Korea is not buying a lot of shit from. They don't have any money.
We need to get Tulin on the Mike and Mike show and then ask him, ask him these questions.
If North Korea does the mining of into their, you know, billions and billions of dollars of reserves of copper and ore and uranium and everything they got up in North Korea. Again, who benefits from that? Who's the people that come across as their advisors? It's not Americans. I'm sure, there'll be a few American companies here and there splattered throughout, but it's going to be run by the Chinese. I mean, the same thing Mac saw in Afghanistan. What was Chinese doing? What was the Chinese doing in Afghanistan? They're buying all the mineral rights. It was going to benefit them. And that's what they're doing across the world. They don't give a flying shit about if we go in or not. And I think they would probably, table with them. Huh?
I think they would. I think I don't know.
You'd have to sit at the table with them and say, hey, listen.
Here's how this is going to go.
Yeah. we're going to go in, we're going to surgically remove this a-hole, we're going to get rid of him, him and his group of cronies, and then after that, we're going to open it up for basically let North Korea decide what they want to do. And then after that, hey, guess who's going to reap the reward and benefit of really having an economy there?
Yeah, it's going to be Chinese-centric, yes. I get it. Yeah. I get it. But, again, who controls it? Is it going to be Western? Is it going to be Chinese? To me, the expansion...
I would say
of,
you turn it...
Turn, into
turn
it
over to the Chinese.
Turn over to the Chinese and let them run it?
Okay. Just to get rid of that.
Just
that,
to get rid of him.
Houston.
Okay. I'd be curious to see what guys who live out there and work out there. Okay, we need to get tooling on. All right, and we'll talk about it. All right, man. Interesting discussion.
Yeah.
All right. What's for lunch?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You don't know?
I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. All right. You have a better day.
I will. No, I enjoyed the conversation. Hey, thank you.
I will not be out. Not be around tomorrow. I'll actually be at a gun place on Stephen Bill with a couple of buddies.
You're going to be at a gun place shooting or doing what?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about, we'll do gun stuff on Monday then?
Yeah. All right. Talk about gun stuff. I'll talk about the little gun escapade that I'll be on tomorrow.
Got it. All right, man. Have a good one. Good luck out there.
Okay. Talk to
you. There you have it. Michael Musselman. That'll do it. Almarin Radio. We're over the limit on a Thursday. First of all, my thanks to Mike Grice for coming on and doing the program. Also want to thank Colby Williamson. He did that piece for us, I want to say, last July. And it's really a great interview that he does with us. So I want to thank him for doing that. And most of all, I want to thank you for listening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends about us. Yeah. We talk China. We talk China. We talk to Crimea. We talk. We speak English. Anyway, thank you very much for listening here on a Thursday edition of Almarin Radio. Been brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, the home of the one and only Battle Mug. Check it out at battlemug.com and all their products. Battle Mug starts as a 10-pound block of aluminum. They mill it, machine it, anodize it to make it what it is, an incredible mug. The handle's the handle on an M16, and it's got Picatinny rails on it, so you can mount anything you mount on your rifle, you can mount on your mug, and some other stuff. If you're going to the field, you get the cap to put on it. You can throw your binoculars or a scope on it. You can throw a laser on it. You can throw a camera on it. All of it works. Check it out at battlemug.com. Type in the code MARINE for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned company, a Marine-owned company, and made entirely in the United States of America. Have a great day. We're going to talk a little bit of cooking tomorrow, and then we're going to talk about the entertainment business. Yep. The Rick Caruso, he was a Marine MP, got into the penitentiary system in as a guard in California, and then got out, and then wrote some stuff, and it got made into a movie. So we're going to talk to Rick Caruso about that whole process. So it should be interesting. On a Thursday, Almarin Radio, out.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.